You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Rough Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Friday, November 7th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Yes, indeed, we made it to the weekend, and we made it here legal. That's right, we've legalized marijuana in the state of Oregon, the state of Alaska, joining Colorado and Washington, and giving us 4 out of the 50 United States with legalized marijuana. Also, marijuana is legalized in our nation's capital, and this is just beginning the pressure on our states and our federal officials to recognize equal rights for cannabis consumers. It doesn't stop with legalization, folks. It doesn't stop until we have the same rights as beer drinkers and cigar smokers, and we will be here at 420radio.org every weekday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, live here from Portland, America's cannabis capital. We're taking the crown, Denver. I swear we're taking the crown. We are going to be here until we are legal, free, and equal in all 50 states and all across the world. So stick with us. Make your donations at 420radio.org if you can afford to donate to keep this information free for everyone around the world who's watching from such great locations as Canada and Sweden and Ghana, of all places. Checking out some of our analytics, it's quite interesting to realize that our voice of the marijuana nation is going out all across the globe. Thank you for your support. On today's show, all sorts of great stuff for you. If you're fans of hip-hop, we got a great interview. High Times interviewed Killer Mike, and we've got that interview for you on 420 Radio today on the Russ Melville Show. Check that out at 5:30. Also, we're going to replay our interview with Anthony Johnson, the chief petitioner for Measure 91, and his celebration at the Measure 91 Victory Party Tuesday night. So check that out. At the end of the show, we'll have time for a radical rant. And I got into it on Facebook today with the public information officer for Portland Mayor Charlie Hales. Portland is one of 49 Oregon cities that have preemptively passed marijuana taxes, thinking that they'd be grandfathered in after Measure 91 passed. Ignoring the clear language of Measure 91 and the vote of the people that shows all local taxes shall be repealed and only the state can tax marijuana, just like only the state can tax alcohol. We'll give you the details of that discussion with Charlie Hale's office in the Radical Rant today. Also on the show, we got some drug war data mining, some exit polling coming out of the state of Florida that proves our friend Bobby Tuna from the Silver Tour was absolutely right. Medical marijuana would have passed in Florida if they'd have gotten the seniors on board. We'll take a look at that data from NBC News coming up in the drug war data mine. We've also got behind the headlines today where Jacob Sullum of Reason Magazine says, well, basically what I said about the election, except he does so in a much more dignified manner. And his thesis is that the public does not fear the specter of big marijuana that Kevin Sabet keeps bringing up. So we'll take a look at his data, and he makes some other comparisons that I didn't think of that are very illustrative of what we're talking about. So stay tuned for that. That's in Behind the Headlines right after the 420 Radio News that's coming up in just 1 minute. We've got a new Gallup poll on nationwide support for marijuana legalization, a end to a practice of the New York Police Department that has the police sergeants fuming, legalization taking root in Missouri for 2016 and beginning in the legislature in Rhode Island in 2015. And finally, after all this time, Boston, Massachusetts has a license for a medical marijuana dispensary more than 2 years after they passed medical marijuana. The news is next in just 2 minutes. Stick around.
To the Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, the activist radio station.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
420radio.org is proud to replay Cannabis Cure TV with Greg DeHote from Sussex, England. Greg, Cannabis Cure DeHote, gained extensive experience in California, Oregon, Washington, and Colorado medical marijuana and brings his expertise back to educate Europeans on ending cannabis prohibition. Catch the replays Thursday at 12 Pacific on 420.
Hey, what's up? This is Killer Mike, one half of Run the Jewels, and I'm telling you, November 23rd through 27th, you need to be at Cannabis Cup. I did it last year, and I got so high, I can tell you what color Jesus' furniture is. I got so high, I kissed the sky twice. I got so much enlightenment, I know Buddha's last name. Do you feel what I'm telling you right now? The people are great. You don't have to search or call your sketch-ass dealer who won't call you back. You don't have to go lurking through the hood to find good smoke. You need to get out of the country. You've been sitting on your block too long smoking weed. Get out and have an adventure. See you at Cannabis Cup, November 23rd through 27th. Yeah.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is your 420 Radio News for Friday, November 7th, 2014. A slim majority of Americans, 51%, favor legalizing the use of marijuana, similar to the 50% who supported it in 2011 and 2012, but down from a reading of 58% last year. Gallup's long-term trend on Americans' support for legalizing marijuana shows that in 1969, just 12% of U.S. adults were in favor, but that swelled to 28% by the late 1970s and 34% by 2003. As long as support hovers around the 50% mark, it will be difficult for proponents to promote legalization beyond the more democratic and liberal-oriented states. The South and Midwest are likely to remain less hospitable, at least for the time being. But with a supermajority of younger Americans supportive, 64% of those aged 18 to 34, contrasted with 41% of those 55 and older, it seems inevitable that this will eventually change. The New York Police Department ordered its narcotics unit to stop its marijuana buy-and-bust policing tool. The buy-and-bust, or decoy practice, is when a plainclothes officer approaches a would-be drug seller asking for a bag of marijuana and, during the arrest, searches for other illegal contraband like guns. When the suspect is booked, police have his fingerprints and photo on file, which becomes useful if he is involved in a crime later. The head of each police bureau's narcotics unit was summoned to NYPD headquarters last week. At the meeting, Chief of Narcotics Brian McCarthy told the commanders to shift their attention to more potent drugs. Quote, "We have to focus on controlled substances," he said, according to the New York Post. "There's a pill and heroin problem in the city, and we have to focus on that. The powers that be don't want to see any more of these pot arrests. This is all about arresting minorities, and this is just one way to arrest less minorities," end quote. In response, the president of the Police Sergeants Benevolent Association called the end of buy and bust, quote, "Clearly the beginning of the breakdown of a civilized society," end quote. Supporters of legalized marijuana are getting an early start on an initiative that could put the issue to a public vote on Missouri's 2016 ballot. A pro-marijuana initiative was the first item submitted to the Secretary of State's office on the first day possible to propose measures for the next general election. The proposed constitutional amendment would make it legal to produce, sell, and use marijuana in Missouri for people age 21 and older. The goal is to tax and regulate marijuana in a similar way as alcohol, said Normal attorney Dan Vietz, who submitted the measure. Although some Missouri cities already have passed local ordinance decriminalizing marijuana possession, it remains a state crime, punishable by up to a year in prison to possess up to 35 grams. A state criminal code revision set to take effect in 2017 would remove the possibility of jail time for first-time offenders convicted of possessing less than 10 grams. Regulate Rhode Island is putting together a coalition of citizens and organizations to make a push in the General Assembly in 2015 to become the fifth state in the nation to legalize marijuana. Jared Moffat of Regulate Rhode Island said it appears that at least five more states could approve the legalization of the drug by 2016. In 2014, Representative Edith Aiello and Joshua Miller led the charge to legalize marijuana in Rhode Island and generate tax revenue for the struggling state with one of the highest unemployment rates in the country. The proposed law change died in the General Assembly. Moffat has also recruited the support of Elizabeth A. Comery, a retired Providence police officer, and Dr. James Crowley, a physician and former president of the Rhode Island Medical Society. State health officials on Friday approved a highly coveted license for Boston's first medical marijuana dispensary, selecting Patriot Care Corporation to run a location near Downtown Crossing. The company, which was already set for a similar facility in Lowell, also won permission Friday for a Greenfield location, making it the only company in position to run three dispensaries in the state. Patriot Care and three other companies were invited in June to apply for licenses in any of the seven counties, including Suffolk, that were without any approved medical marijuana facilities. State health regulators said they selected those companies because they had scored well when vying for dispensaries in other locations where licenses had already been awarded. The voters of the state of Massachusetts passed medical marijuana regulations in 2012 and are still awaiting the opening of many of the promised dispensaries. This has been your 420 Radio News for Friday, November 7th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Radio, the home of marijuana experts.
There's so much I worry about as a mom. Stephen Harper thinks that organized crime should continue to profit from marijuana prohibition. Imagine regulating marijuana like alcohol and cigarettes with a strong and clear educational message, making it more difficult for my kids and your kids to access. Drug dealers don't ask for ID. Stephen Harper does not have the kind of judgment we need to protect our children, authorized by the Normal Women.
.com 420radio.org presents the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour with Herb Thrasher and Radical Russ from Portland, Oregon. Herb Thrasher Flower Hour is 2 hours of unrestrained rock, metal, punk, and alt-country music, interviews, concert bootlegs, and sports with America's hardest-rocking marijuana activist stoner, Herb Thrasher. Live 2 hours Friday, 8 p.m. Pacific, with replays at 8 and 5 on Fridays and replays Saturday at 8 p.m. Pacific on 420radio.org. Welcome back, everyone. 13 after the hour. And today in Behind the Headlines, we're going to take a look at the fear of big marijuana. This is something that's promulgated by Kevin Sabet and the prohibitionists out there, and it's written about expertly today by Jacob Sullum in Forbes magazine. His post entitled, "Fear of Cannabis Commerce Didn't, Won't, and Shouldn't Stop Legalization." I've posted a link in our chat room if you want to follow along, because some of the things he has to say are very, very insightful. Kevin Sabet tried to spin the disaster for prohibition that this most recent election was. He said it was not the complete slam dunk legalization groups expected, and I think we've slowed the legal marijuana freight train. In response to that, Jacob Sullum, who wasn't as sanguine about our chances of legalization as I was, and I was a little dismissive of even Alaska's chances, but Jacob's been very, very skeptical. But he says in response to Kevin Sabet, quote, "Sabet's spin seems delusional even to me." And he nails exactly what the problem is. And this is what I've always said is the root failure, the Achilles heel of the Project Sam third way thinking, kinder, gentler drug war rhetoric and messaging. The Achilles heel of it is it doesn't deal with the true harm of prohibition. And that's the market, not the user. Marijuana users are smoking marijuana in their homes and just relaxing and chilling and not hurting anybody. It's the market of marijuana, the buying and selling, the gangs, the cartels, the kids that are dealing. That's the harm of marijuana prohibition. And Sabet and his ilk don't see that, or they ignore that, and they just want to have these kinder, gentler policies. The way Jacob writes, he says, Sabet unrealistically expects voters to be horrified at the very thought of a profit-driven cannabis industry. Well, the problem with Sabet's notion here is that Americans, by and large, like capitalism. We like the idea of industries growing in America and creating jobs, and those industries being taxed to help the greater good. And that's an increasingly popular notion in America. Like we said, the Gallup poll came out today, once again reaffirming for the fourth year in a row majority support nationwide for marijuana legalization. Now, undoubtedly, Kevin will say, oh, well, the 58% is down to 51%. What a dramatic decline of 7 points after they've realized that Colorado and Washington's big marijuana was a big mistake. Yeah, right, Kevin. All I see is that 2013 was a bit of an outlier in Gallup's numbers. When three out of the last four numbers are 50, 50, and 51, I think we got a pretty clear trend. But the problem for Kevin Sabet and the prohibitionists is the trend of younger voters increasing support for marijuana legalization and older voters dying. Retirees are the only age group in which a majority, Jacob writes, still opposed legalizing marijuana for recreational use. Only retirees. And as they die out, it's going to be harder and harder for the Kevin Sabets of the world to get any traction. And Sabet crowed about how five cities in Colorado, like Lakewood, banned marijuana pot shops. Ironically enough, that might actually be more support for marijuana legalization when people in these more conservative cities realize they can vote for legalization but still ban it in their own backyard. In fact, Oregon and Alaska, our legalization measures explicitly allow local bans. Now, in Oregon's measure, you have to get a vote of the people. You can't just have your 9-man city council vote for that. You've got to have an initiative. You got to have a vote of the people. Hey, if we had to get a vote of the people to legalize, you need to get a vote of the people to be able to prohibit. That seems only fair to me. But again, that local option is going to increase support for marijuana legalization among a lot of people. This idea that big marijuana, if you keep saying big marijuana over and over again, it's going to scare people, doesn't scare people when they recognize that most Americans, as Jacob writes, do not see business that supply them with useful and enjoyable goods and services as the enemy. And we've seen the results of trying to use the big marijuana as the scare against the voters. Alaska's anti-legalization campaign was called Big Marijuana, Big Mistake. Polling for Measure 2 was down to 48%, but it ended up passing with 52%. The same in Oregon. Measure 91 tried to show all the pictures of the pot tarts and the gummy bears and tried to do the same Big Marijuana, Big Mistake. Oh, if we have big marijuana, they'll market to kids. And again, our survey, our poll numbers were around 51, 52%. We end up winning with 56%. Both states did 4 points better than polling. And Mark Kleiman, the other guy, I talked about him yesterday, Mark A.R. Kleiman, the one who was the consultant to Washington State, whose advice led to low supply and high prices, as much as $30 to $35 a gram, who said, quote, it can be done without involving the potrepreneurs now hoping to cash in on the green rush. He was referring to District of Columbia's Grow and Give system. The grow and give system where in D.C. now you're allowed to grow your own, you're allowed to possess your own, and you're allowed to give it away, but not sell it to other people. As Jacob so expertly writes, quote, there is another name for this form of legalization, prohibition. Back when the booze business was banned, people were still allowed to possess and consume alcoholic beverages, if they'd purchased them before the 18th Amendment took effect, for example. They could even make their own fermented beverages based on the Volstead Act's exception for non-intoxicating cider and fruit juices, which the Treasury Department interpreted to mean non-intoxicating in fact, leaving leeway for significant alcohol content. It once again ignores the fact that DC's got Grow and Give right now. It's just underground. Now, growers can come above ground, grow all they like, people can possess all they like. There's even less incentive not to buy and sell. I think we did think of the children. We thought of the children by taking the marijuana business out of their hands and taking it out of the hands of criminals and cartels that weren't carting the children. Come 2016 in Oregon, if you want to buy marijuana, you're going to have to show an ID. You're going to have to go behind a buzzed door in an adults-only store. Hey, we're back in 90 seconds. 60 seconds. See ya.
420 Radio, fighting prohibition since 2012. At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio. Free Weed from Danny Danko, replaying Wednesdays at 1 Pacific on 420radio.org. Are you a hypocrite? If you live a closeted cannabis lifestyle, you are. Read about 7 people living a closeted cannabis lifestyle who are on the verge of coming out in The Hypocrites by Mara K. Eaton. Available at areyouahypocrite.net. You can purchase the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, also available on iTunes. Check out Mara K. Eaton on Facebook as well. Learn more at areyouahypocrite.net. Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Welcome back, everyone. 22 after the hour. We're continuing to break down the marijuana election night 2014 and some of the inside numbers that weren't reported immediately. And today we take a look at the state of Florida, where their Amendment 2 for medical marijuana did not pass by the constitutional level of 60%, but garnered 57.57% of the vote of the state of Florida, a clear 15-point majority in support of medical marijuana. I thought it would be instructive to take a look at the exit polling on Florida's medical marijuana amendment. This comes from NBC News Politics Division, their Florida Amendment 2. The breakdown in support for Amendment 2 was 60% male support, 56% women support. So interesting that men, if the vote was completely up to men, there would be medical marijuana today in the state of Florida. But the age group, I think, is the most illustrative polling number that we've got out of these exit polls. Look at this support between 18 to 29 year olds. 4 out of 5 people under the age of 30 in Florida support medical marijuana. 4 out of 5. And age 30 to 44, it's damn near 2 out of 3. We've got super majorities from age 45 and younger that were in support of this amendment. And even age 64 and 45 to 64 supported it at 60%. Given this breakdown, as we noted earlier, it is only retirees who opposed medical marijuana in the state of Florida. Ironically, the group of citizens in Florida who would probably have benefited the most from medical marijuana opposed it 3-2, 38% support. Now, the totals here on the side are how much that age group makes up in the population. So the retirees are a quarter of the population there in the state of Florida, and thus had a lot of ability to drag down the vote with respect to medical marijuana. A more detailed breakdown of age groups will show us that, again, 18 to 24, your college-aged people, 83% support. After college age, postgraduate age, 25 to 29, 75% support. Support continues to decline as you get to the higher age groups. But even people aged 50 to 64 nearly were in, you know, the constitutional level of support of 60%, and were still a great majority of support for Florida's medical marijuana. 65 and older, again, the retiree age group, are the only groups, is the only group that stood in opposition. Now, scrolling down just a little bit more, we find the racial breakdown in Florida showed us that white people helped to keep Florida from becoming medical marijuana. Black support was at 69%, Hispanic Latino support at 60%. And breaking that further down by gender and race, we see it was mostly white women who drug down the support amongst white people for the legalization of medical marijuana. Black men in overwhelming support, nearly 4 out of 5. Cuban descent had a big effect on the voting for medical marijuana. As folks may know, Southern Florida has a large, large demographic of Cuban descent. 1 out of 20 people in Florida is of Cuban descent, and they supported medical marijuana only at a 52% rate compared to 58% statewide for non-Hispanic descent, and 66% among other Hispanics. That would be Latin Americans, Central Americans, Mexican Americans, and so forth. 2 out of 3 among other Hispanics. So once again, the conservatism of Florida's Cuban population showing in the exit polling on medical marijuana. Liberals, of course, were overwhelmingly in support of medical marijuana in the state of Florida. Moderates, 2 out of 3, just about 65%. And among conservatives, about 2 out of 3, you know, 3 out of 5 closer, were in opposition to medical marijuana. So far, it is older white or Cuban conservatives that killed medical marijuana in Florida, other than $4 million from Sheldon Adelson. Party breakdown, very similar to the ideological breakdown, 71% support among Democrats, 65% support among independents, 40% support among the state's Republicans. Looking at party by gender, again, similar breakdowns. Republican women, less support for medical marijuana than the Republican men. And among educational classes, the more education college graduates seem to indicate greater support for medical marijuana. And continuing down to income values here, we see that among people of lesser means, under $30,000 a year, 2 out of 3 supported it, perhaps representing the inability of people in poverty to afford traditional medical care and perhaps turn to an herb they can grow in their own homes to help support themselves. The support among all other income demographics was above 55%. So above $30,000, we don't really see much change in the support for medical marijuana. The folks in Florida will be making use of these demographic numbers in order to combine a more effective campaign for 2016. We will see medical marijuana in Florida.
420 Radio, your ticket to the Boston Freedom Rally. You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com. For over four decades, High Times Magazine has been the chronicle of the underground marijuana culture. Now, as marijuana goes mainstream, High Times is stronger than ever, running the best-selling magazine, their high-traffic website, and producing five U.S. cannabis cups and one international cannabis cup per year. Check out the latest news from High Times in our High Times preview.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane with High Times. We're here with Killer Mike. Turns out his birthday is 420.
It is.
Tell us about the amazing success of Run the Jewels 2.
We're just lucky bastards that people felt the first one, like, and are feeling the second one like 10 times more. I can't describe lightning in a bottle besides to say there's lightning in a bottle. Jamie and I committed ourselves to make the dopest possible music that we felt we could. It resonated with people, and you know, the turnaround is even more incredible on Run the Jewels 2.
Can you tell us a little bit about Meow the Jewels? We just saw that you got the Kickstarter campaign.
Meow the Jewels is the result of Jamie smoking too much marijuana and coming up with funny stuff to say. How many different ways can you buy a t-shirt and a hat? Well, you can have the $40 option, the $400,000 option, the $4 million option. Jamie came up with a $40,000 option of, if you buy this package and raise $40,000, we will do a cat remix of the entire album. And don't get high and make promises or bets, because the audience will take that dare, and they did. We're going to donate the proceeds to either victims of police brutality or directly to the family of Eric Garner and Michael Brown. That's our wish. Our wish is to get it directly in the hands of the family, and we're making moves to do that now. It's a very stupid idea. We were stoned, we laughed at it, and you guys made it something real and that actually was worthy, you know, and we appreciate you guys for, you know, catering to our dumb joke, because the money is going to go to a very good purpose. I don't favor any particular political party as much as what I encourage people to do is, you know, vote on a local level. Like, realize the 5 to 10 miles around your home are what affects you every day. If your community is being over-policed, then you need to be talking to your city councilman or your alderman. If it's being under-policed, then you need to be talking to them. You need to be communicative with police departments about how they handle arrests and pullovers. You need to be communicative about which stores are coming in, how businesses are handled. I just say be involved in your local politics, and to me that'll help you grow a better national perspective. Get out. You should vote. You should take your children to see the voting process. You should encourage your children to vote once they get 18. And you should be involved in some way locally with politics, whether that's campaigning for a particular politician or whether it's having a particular issue in the community that you want to see reformed, ratified, or progressed in pushing that issue.
What do you think is going to happen next week with the vote on marijuana reform in the four states that have it on the ballot?
Usually I call splits, like we'll probably get two, lose two, but eventually prohibition just has to end. Like, common sense is making more sense than dumb stuff these days. You can only fool so many people so many times. So with each win, it just opens the door for the next. So I expect to get two out of four. I'd be happy for four. I'd light a joint in the middle of Times Square.
And when you played the Cannabis Cup last year, did you guys enjoy some of the good weed in Amsterdam?
I did. The only thing, we had to leave the next day. That was the heartbreaking part of it. We tried to smoke everything. I got on a plane, I was higher than the plane.
What's your favorite strain?
Chem Dog is a favorite of mine. My wife and I like Perp. It's hard to find, as you know, the granddaddy Perp right now, but it's a pleasure. Of course, I like a lot of different cushions, but really right now, Girl Scout Cookie and Chem are probably my favorite.
And can you leave us with a good pot story, a good anecdote from your time?
When my wife and I went and got our cards in California, for instance, because I'm a fat guy, of course. My wife's fit. So the doctor tells me, it's actually a two-way edible story. The doctor tells us the exact same thing. You got to smoke cigarettes? No, don't ever smoke cigarettes. You smoke joints? Yeah. All right, you can smoke joints. Do you eat edibles? Yeah, I eat edibles. No, I don't want you ever to eat edibles. And I'm like, okay. My wife comes back in, tells him the same story. You smoke cigarettes? No. Good. Don't smoke. You smoke joints? Oh, okay. So you eat edibles? Well, you know, sometimes my body hurts. I cramp. Yeah. Eat edibles. And so when we were telling each other the story, I was like, yeah, then he told me don't eat edibles. She was like, he told me to eat edibles. And I was like, but he told me they were dang. And she was like, you're fat. So I can't eat brownies. And that because I'm fat and because I got so high off of weed brownie one time, I forgot the entire album.
What? While you were performing?
When we played Washington State on Run the Jewels 1, when I had just learned, you had just gotten the album committed to memory, someone gave us a brownie. I let the fat kid in me talk. I ate the whole brownie. I forgot the entire album.
What happened?
The audience did the album for me that day. Thank you guys, by the way.
They're there for you.
Yeah, I was, oh my God. I was literally just doing ad-libs. It was like being at a country show, a country rap tune show, like in the Chitlin' Circuit, rapping over words. Except I didn't have words, the audience rapped the words. So thank you guys and everyone who was there. If you remember that, because I told you how high I was.
And be careful with edibles.
Be careful with edibles, especially if you're a fat guy.
Thanks to our friends at High Times for the interview. That's Killer Mike. And you got to be careful with the edibles. We don't do edibles here at 420 Radio because we still need to be able to read and speak. So yeah, be careful with the edibles. Go low, start slow. Always know what you're getting in the edible. Know what the THC level is. And my recommendation, don't make any plans. Have some place that you can lay down and chill if you really need to. All right, we got some bonus coverage to bring you here during our video segment. We've got Anthony Johnson. He spoke to us live from the Measure 91 Victory Party Tuesday night. Not much for the video. You can't really see him very well, but you can definitely hear what's going on. So enjoy this flashback to our victory on Tuesday with the man who brought us legalized marijuana, Anthony Johnson.
Handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
Welcome back, everyone. It is 47 after the hour, 8:47 Pacific time, and joining us on the Skype line, we have got Anthony Johnson, the chief petitioner of Measure 91, which has just been declared a winner here in the state of Oregon, becoming the third state to legalize marijuana. The studio audience is excited. Anthony Johnson, I'm sure you're excited. How are you doing?
I'm very excited, Russ. Can you hear me?
We got you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm very excited, very proud of everybody. You know, this has been a long, hard fight that many activists have been put in, you know, their blood, sweat, and tears over the years. You know, I can't help but think about Jack Herrera, Jim Gregg, you know, Jim Clark, who's in the hospital waiting a liver right now. You know, and I just could not be happier or more proud of this victory.
Yeah, Measure 91 currently has been called. The numbers may change as more votes are counted. Right now, we're looking at 61.9% of the votes counted, coming down at 54-46. And Anthony, I got to brag, I called it. I said 54-46.
You called it, Russ. You know, a couple days ago, I was predicting a 51-49% victory. I thought that we didn't quite have the turnout that we wanted in our strongholds this year to really have a big margin of victory, but I thought we did enough to win it. And to have a margin of victory this big in a midterm election, I mean, it's an historic election for one, but it has shown that legalizing marijuana has moved to the mainstream, and we're only going to see more and more states move towards more freedom, more liberty in 2016 and beyond.
All right, what does this mean for the implementation? Because there was two different sections, and I never quite figured it out. One section that said this was effective 30 days after it passes, another one that said they had until some later date before things went into effect. When am I going to be legal to have the 8 ounces in my house?
So you'll be legal to possess and cultivate at home, Russ, on July 1st. So I'm sorry about the confusion that some people are having with the text. You know, I think one of the reasons why we were able to bring mainstream support to the cause, the Oregonian, the Register Guard, the Medford Mail Tribune, the East Oregonian, you know, former Oregon State Supreme Court Justice William Riggs, you know, former police officers, former U.S. attorney, was because we did have a very deliberate, you know, careful approach. So we didn't want to, you know, scare the citizens, scare the voters, scare the state. We wanted everybody to have time to ease into this, you know, new approach. And so in a month, the state can start doing rulemaking hearings and formulating the rules for the regulated system. On July 1st, that's when it will be legal to possess cannabis in the privacy of your own home or to travel with it so long it's out of public view. Now, it's possible the Oregon legislature could step in and pass an emergency bill and implement it sooner, but July 1st is the date.
All right. So that 30-day implementation was when the state could start working on it. And then July 1st is when it actually affects us.
Correct.
Okay. That's great news.
And then the state will start accepting applications the 1st of 2016. Start accepting applications, and you can likely see, you know, licensed and regulated sales, you know, first few months of 2016. The state could actually move it up sooner if they don't need all the time, but I would expect the state to take the full year to develop the rules and regulations.
All right. So we're speaking with Anthony Johnson, the chief petitioner of Measure 91, which has been declared victorious, making Oregon the third state to legalize marijuana for adult use, cultivation, and sales. We're also looking forward to Alaska's vote that'll be coming up a little bit later. Anthony, I'm sure you've got a ton of things to do and a ton of people to talk to, but before you go, can you give us a breakdown? What do you got there for media, local, national, and some of the superstars of the movement who might be there at the party tonight?
You know, you got longtime activists. People have been working on this cause for a long time. We've had activists fly in from out of state. I had some of my Missouri brethren fly in to even help in the final days to knock on doors. You know, Doug Fine, best-selling author, came in to knock on doors on the final day. And basically every media outlet is here. You know, I think with the senator race and governor race not being very competitive in Oregon, we were actually the most high-profile, pun intended, most high-profile election in Oregon. So it's, you know, I think it's safe to say it's a media madhouse here, and the people are joyous, and I could not be happier and more proud of everybody that's worked in this cause, worked on this campaign, volunteered over the years. Russ, you've been a you know, beacon of reason, helping us out with talking points all over the over these years, and so I just cannot be more proud of the work everybody's put into this cause.
Yeah, it's been a true team effort, and I think, you know, of any campaign, you know, we've seen only two so far, Washington and Colorado, but I think Oregon sets the bar for the most inclusive and the most activists involved in the drafting and the vetting and the working on this campaign. You did us all very proud, Anthony. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Russ. I really appreciate it. And let's move forward in 2016 and more states beyond.
All right. Thanks, Anthony Johnson, chief petitioner, Measure 91. We're going to let you go. Get back to the media madhouse, my man.
Thank you, Russ. Have a good one.
Anthony Johnson from our legalization party. I got to get down there about an hour after that interview, and the picture of Anthony coloring in my back tattoo, specifically coloring in the state of Oregon with a green Sharpie, got picked up by the Oregonian and then picked up by the Washington Post in their coverage. So thank you, Anthony. Was really glad to have you color that in. We're back with the Radical Rant right after the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. Portland's mayor is defending local taxes that are clearly invalidated by Measure 91. I argued with his public information officer on Facebook today. We'll talk all about it right after this.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, freeing your mind 24 hours a day. At Royal Queen Seeds, we've got premium feminized cannabis seeds, including auto-flowering varieties for the medical cannabis user. We've got bulk shipments available and new CBD oil. Plus, we accept payment in Visa, MasterCard, and Bitcoin, as well as other methods. Check out our website at royalqueenseeds.com for more information. We are located in the Netherlands, and we have online grow experts ready to help you now at royalqueenseeds.com. In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
About 68% of all medically necessary drug treatment admissions for youth aged 12 to 17 are for marijuana. Marijuana, it's harmful to youth.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
Handle the truth. The
entirely legitimate topic for debate.
You have offended my family.
Hey, this is great, man.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
I know nothing.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
We don't need no stinking budget.
Homosexuality.
Down the centuries, you have slurred the meaning of the words "we, the people."
Be warned, this is not your mother's marijuana.
You could ask yourself a question: do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant.
Welcome back, everyone. 46 after the hour, and today my hat's off to our own Herb Thrasher, who on his Facebook page posted the response of our Portland mayor, Charlie Hales, to the passage of Measure 91. Let me read you Mayor Charlie Hales' response. This is Mayor Charlie Hales' statement. Tax on recreational use. Email address for questions. On Tuesday, Oregon voters approved the use of recreational marijuana, which means Oregon will allow the legal use of recreational marijuana beginning July 1st, 2015. The city had been working since the summer to craft policies that reflect that change. Mayor Hales explains, quote, "It seemed prudent to get started on this issue long before voters spoke. The goal is to make sure city policy reflects the changing legal and social climate and to craft policy that is not unduly burdensome," end quote. In October, City Council passed a 10% tax on recreational marijuana to defray the cost of enforcing regulations. The city will not tax medicinal marijuana. The state, through the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, will regulate use, and the city will work over the next several months with the state to smooth implementations. Have questions? Contact marijuana.questions@portlandoregon.gov. Well, here's the problem. If you want to craft policy that's not unduly burdensome, perhaps you ought to take a look at Measure 91 and where it vests the taxation power over marijuana with the states and not the cities. Now, this led to an extended conversation on Herb Thrasher's Facebook page. I'll post the link in our chat room if you'd like to get in on it. But clearly, Measure 91 does not allow cities and counties to tax marijuana. 49 of these cities and counties passed these preemptive tax laws with the theory that they'd get grandfathered in, and then Measure 91 would only invalidate the taxes after that point. So Scott Herb in our in the post says, maybe our good mayor Charlie Hales will respond too. Sir, are we to understand that 91 stating the state will issue tax, or your above statement that the city tax is true? Charlie Hales was represented by his public information officer, Sarah, who said, quote, Portland is among nearly 20 Oregon cities, it's actually 49, that have enacted similar taxes ahead of Measure 91's vote. While the ballot language forbids cities from enacting taxes on marijuana, let me pause there. That's the mayor's office recognizing that Measure 91 forbids cities from enacting taxes on marijuana. Let's underline that now. She continues, it's unclear whether that prohibition applies to ordinances passed ahead of the measure's approval. A conversation on the question will happen with the Oregon legislature and potentially the courts. By enacting a tax, Portland took a position and aligned with other cities on the issue of resources for smooth implementation. So I responded in the thread, Section 42, quote, no county or city of this state shall impose any fee or tax, including occupation taxes, privilege taxes, and inspection fees, in connection with the purchase, sale, production, processing, transportation, and delivery of marijuana items, end quote. And Section 58, quote, shall be paramount and superior to and shall fully replace and supersede any and all municipal charter enactments or local ordinances inconsistent with it. Such charters and ordinances hereby are repealed, end quote. So Mayor Hales, Portland and these other cities' position that taxes passed prior to Measure 91's passage would somehow be grandfathered in is in clear conflict with the language, quote, shall fully replace and supersede, end quote. And there's no doubt that an initiative of the people can repeal an existing law. 1916's Measure 7 was a bill repealing and abolishing the Sunday closing law. 1924's Measure 7 was a bill repealing income tax in Oregon. Clearly, the people can repeal an existing tax if in 1924 they repealed all income taxes. 1932, Measure 7, repeal of alcohol prohibition, 1 year before the federal government did it. So it's clear that the people can set the policies regarding drugs in this state. And 1954's Measure 8 was a repeal of the milk control law. So this idea that the initiative power does not grant the people to repeal laws is bunk. As I see it, all Portland and these cities have done is punch their tickets to see who's going to be the first to waste valuable taxpayer time and money defending the inevitable lawsuit over these clearly illegal taxes and the appeals of the inevitable decision when the courts read the clear language of sections 42 and 58 that were approved by 56% of the state of Oregon. Now, I'm just wondering which city or county that's going to be. Will it be Salem, where Marion County only supported Measure 91 at 48%? Will it be Lake Oswego in Clackamas County, where the vote was 51.6%? Will it be Beaverton in Washington County, where the vote was 55%? Will it be Ashland in Jackson County, where the vote was 53.2%? Will it be Eugene in Lane County, where the vote was 60.2%? Or will it be you, Charlie Hales, in the largest city in the state, in Multnomah County, that voted for Measure 91 at 71.2%? Well, if it were me defending Measure 91 in court, I'd pick on you, Charlie Hales, in Portland, because a 71.2% vote is a full 10 points better than you did in your election for mayor. 71.2% of the people in this county voted in favor of, quote, shall fully replace and supersede, end quote, the tax in Portland. Oh, well, maybe we could sue in Ashland, though. We could tie all that up in a mess in court just ahead of the Shakespeare Festival season, where tourists are going to be really excited about the idea of watching Romeo and Juliet and smoking a little legal Oregon weed. Or maybe we should take it up in Eugene, you know, a college town. Let's have the court fight in a college town over making marijuana more expensive. Oh, I know. We could take on Forest Grove, one of these little towns that doesn't have a whole lot of money to be able to fight back. You know, there's so many alluring targets for marijuana lawyers flush with Green Rush capital to take on. I really don't care which one that we take on. And actually, the mayor's office even responded to that position of mine. This is from the public information officer. Quote, Mayor Hales isn't operating in a vacuum. Portland is standing with approximately 18 other cities that have passed similar ordinances, and government relations teams statewide are working together and negotiating with the legislature to come to a consensus about how tax revenue will work. It's a regular part of the process of any new law that garners revenue. Not if that new law that garners revenue specifically says in it the only entity that can garner revenue is the state. And please, it's unclear whether that prohibition applies to ordinances passed ahead of the measure's approval. Really? It's unclear? Quote, shall fully replace and supersede, end quote, is unclear to you? Stop peeing on our leg and telling us it's raining. You want the city to make extra money taxing marijuana because it's the one tax you think you can get away with, period. And in response to that, the mayor's office replied, quote, cigarettes are taxed, alcohol is taxed. In the same vein, marijuana will be taxed. municipalities are negotiating with the Oregon legislature how revenue will be collected and distributed. The legislature can choose to keep or change the language in the measure. As noted before, it's a regular part of the process for any new law that collects revenue. Oh, so a regular part of the process is the city, the county, and the state colluding to find some technicality, some loophole, some friendly judge to undo the will of the people? That's a regular part of the process? The language of Measure 91 that was approved by 56% of the voters could not be more clear. Shall fully replace and supersede. Fully replace. We're not idiots here. We know what we were voting for. We were voting that the state shall tax and regulate marijuana, not every little fiefdom across Oregon that hates marijuana and wants to get rid of it. Here's a story from the Oregonian. I was just reading this one today, where the city of Fairview is proposing a 40% tax on the sale of cannabis and related products, 40% tax on recreational, 15% tax on medical marijuana. And in this, here's a quote. Mayor Mike Weatherby and some city council members toyed with setting the rate at 100% as a stronger deterrent to marijuana retailers opening in Fairview. Quote, it's just something we don't need, said Mayor Weatherby. And city council member Tammy Arnold, who by the way lost her re-election bid, said, quote, it is fair to say the whole purpose was to try to find ways to keep it out of Fairview, end quote. I've got a list here in that link that I just posted in the chat room is a list of the 49 municipalities in Oregon that preemptively tried to pass taxes on marijuana with rates ranging from 5% to that 40%, with medical rates ranging from 3% to 5%. And this undoes the entire point of marijuana legalization, which was to take it out of the hands of criminals and to undercut a black market. Have you not learned any lessons from Washington State, where there are literally pot dealers sitting in the parking lots of their tax and regulate stores because it's so easy to undercut the 25% plus 25% plus 25% plus local sales tax plus state sales tax that has inflated the price of marijuana to $35 a gram, far higher than the black market rate here in the Pacific Northwest. And this line of hers. In October, the city council passed a 10% tax on recreational marijuana to defray the cost of enforcing regulations, end quote. Oh, really? It costs money to enforce regulations on drugs? So what's Portland's city tax on alcohol to defray the cost of enforcing those regulations? Where is the cost that is being defrayed by a Portland beer tax for the street closings and the patrolling of fights, date rape, public urination, and drunken driving that's going to occur in Old Town tonight and every weekend in Portland, Oregon? There is no public consumption of marijuana allowed under Measure 91, and there are 6 monthly adult drinkers for every 1 monthly adult toker in Oregon, so it can't possibly be the same regulatory enforcement drain on Oregon's budget. Or Portland's budget. You really, really want us to believe you need a 10% tax to handle us pot smokers in our homes while there's no tax to handle the booze drinkers downtown? We've already got a tax on hotels and bed and breakfast that are sure to do even more business in Portland with marijuana legalized. See, for example, Denver getting a 6% raise in their tourism revenue since legalization occurred. We're all paying an arts tax here in Portland. And in this last election, we approved the bonds for schools and parks. What you're doing now is trying to fleece the people who voted against being marijuana criminals anymore, the people who voted against being locally taxed on marijuana, people who willingly voted to be taxed at the state level. You're just upset that you're going to lose the marijuana ticket money and the asset forfeitures and the police overtime come July 1st, 2015, and you want to keep the marijuana money flowing into the pockets from the same people you previously treated as criminals and currently treat as second-class citizens ineligible for certain employment thanks to piss testing that doesn't discriminate against alcoholics and pill poppers. We will be fighting this 10% tax and all of these city taxes in court. And you can believe the marijuana movement now has the money and the muscle to flex in court right now and to flex at the legislature and to reject these over-harsh, over-broad, over-expensive, punitive taxes against marijuana users that are not implemented against beer drinkers. Mayor Hales, you picked the wrong fight. You better ask Dwight Holton, you better ask Josh Marquis, you better ask Kevin Sabet what it's like to have my undivided attention. That's all the time we got. Stay tuned for Hour 2. I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.